This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Do large-scale hog farms make their neighbors sick? A new study from Duke University researchers shows that people who live close to industrial hog farms have a higher risk of potentially deadly diseases. Communities in places with more hogs see higher levels of kidney disease, anemia, and sepsis. They also face greater risks of infant mortality and lower birth rate. Dr. Julia Kravchenko and Dr. Kim Lyerly are both co-authors of the new study. Dr. Kravchenko is a professor in the Department of Surgery at Duke University. Dr. Lyerly, a professor of surgery, immunology, and pathology at Duke. He's also the director of Duke's Environment Health Scholars Program. Welcome to both of you. Good to have you here.
Thanks, Frank. It's great to be here.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Julia, tell us about the scope of the study. What were you looking for?
So we decided first look at the literature, and we found out that in southeastern North Carolina, there are for decades high rates of certain diseases. And then we decided to investigate which are the main factors that contribute to these high risks of diseases. And we look at the role of social economic factors like income, educational level. We look at behavioral factors such as smoking. We look at access to medical care, and we look at medical insurance coverage. And definitely because there are so many large hog farms in this area, we also look at the locations of large hog farms, and we also look at this factor together with all other factors.
What did you find?
And we found that even after adjustment, it's been taken into account, all social factors, access to medical care that we investigated, we still have increased risk of certain diseases, those you mentioned earlier. And this risk cannot be completely explained only by other factors. So there is potential role of hog CAFOs could play.
So this higher risk is particularly in the places most that are closest to these CAFOs or these large hog confinement operations.
So we use several scenarios, and in all scenarios we saw that, for example, high density of hogs, it's mean larger hog farms, higher the risk. Second scenario, closer the distance to hog farm, higher the risk. And the third scenario was we took the same zip codes in North Carolina with all the same characteristics except of presence of hog farms and then compare hogs versus non-hog zip codes. And we've got additional excess risk in zip codes with hog farms, even when other social factors, demographic characteristics were similar.
So this is a compelling correlation, but we still can't link directly the cause, right?
Right, Frank. One of the things that we know is that many people would like to have ironclad evidence that the cause of these diseases is, in fact, these hog farms. But it may not be possible to do the kind of experiment that people would like to see. For example, it would really be unethical to expose people to a hog farm and then have others not exposed to the hog farm in a prospective fashion. On the other hand, we know that there are many perspectives about medical issues that use information like this to become aware of problems and to allow us to dig a little bit deeper. For example, as Julia mentioned, the increase in low birth weight infants. This is something that is of enormous consequence because of the medical needs of low birth weight infants, their subsequent health problems. And so if there was an identification of a population that had low birth weight infants, perhaps education or screening or some type of intervention could be implemented as we're trying to ascertain the real cause of this. But there's a sort of a compelling need to address the issue as well as trying to understand exactly what the etiology of this health disparity is.
All right. So you're saying the first thing we can do is we've got a greater need. We need to bring in more resources to address the particular outcomes that we're seeing, these kind of these diseases that we're seeing.
Right. So many of these diseases are those in which identification and early intervention could have a big impact on their outcome. For example, anemia and kidney diseases, these may lead to increase in infections and death rates from infection, and they may be silent. And so if populations are unaware that they're at risk for these things, then it may be an opportunity for us to educate and to screen for some of these medical conditions.
But Julia, can we take this to the next level and link whatever the agents are that are coming from these? If we suspect that something is happening in these large confinement operations that's causing this, we don't know what it is, and this study doesn't make the direct link, but something's happening. Is there a way to link these agents with the particular diseases and the processes of these diseases that we know about?
So actually, make the next step of analysis, we need to gather individual level information. That's mean we need to go to these communities. We need to do surveys. We need to take some samples. We need to find out for every patient what specific factors affect the health. And when we'll compare, you know, all this information, when we will analyze it, we'll be able to tell more details about the spectrum, because disease, it's usually not one, two, or even three factors. Disease, it's a result of multiple factors. Mm. So we need to know about how these factors interfere between each other. And of course, people who are living closer to hog farms, they have lower incomes, they have lower educational levels, they have less primary care physicians. So, of course, this factor interrelates.
But you also compared this to with other people who had those same conditions, and as they were farther away, their conditions improved. Also, interestingly enough, you did a comparison and looked at what was happening in other parts of the country, and maybe you can talk more about that, what happens in Iowa and Minnesota, for instance, and how they compared.
So we just started analysis of two other leading in hogs industry states, like Iowa and Minnesota, and we see better health outcomes here, and we see better social economic level in communities near the hog farms here, and we see more physicians here. And
when you say here, you're talking about Minnesota and Iowa.
Minnesota and Iowa, then in North Carolina.
Yeah.
And so that's mean that in North Carolina, we have sort of unique characteristics of the southeastern area, and that cannot, like, 100% repeat the situation in Iowa and Minnesota. So we have probably something to learn from Iowa and Minnesota in terms of why they have better health outcomes, even having large hog farms here.
Those social factors are part of it, better education, better access. But also you suggest that there are some mitigation efforts and practices in those places that we don't practice here. Is that true, or can we make that comparison?
Right. I think one of the issues are the large hog waste lagoons. And I think the scope of those lagoons in North Carolina, the climate here, and potentially the contents, including bacteria, perhaps the antibiotics used in the industrial farming sort of environment, but also the fact that many of these hogs are, producing hormones. There may be elements of hormones or metabolic elements of livestock. All of that is being exposed to air and water sources.
We have the open lagoons in this state, but they don't in those states, right?
They don't have the lagoon management to the extent that North Carolina has.
And
I think that, as Julia pointed out, the number of hogs per hog farm in North Carolina really seems to be quite extraordinary. And that doesn't seem to be replicated in some of the other regions where they're more distributed.
And we have higher density of population, more populated areas surrounding large hog farms. And that means that like 400,000 people in North Carolina living in the area with more than 215 hogs per square kilometer. It's mean upper quartile of density of the hogs. So that's a lot. So that's a lot of North Carolina population.
A lot of factors then involved. What's next for you? Where do you think the research should go from here?
Of course, research should go to communities. Of course, we need to understand the needs of these communities in all aspects, but our main aspect remains health. And of course, we see that, for example, when we analyze the data, you can use a special ICD codes, which tells that it's unidentified diagnosis. It's mean like anemia, not but type of anemia is not clear, something, you know? So, and that's the most lethal group of diseases. That's mean we need to improve screening, we need to improve early diagnosis and diagnosis per se. We need to improve access to medical care, treatment and treatment adherence. It's mean education of people, because there are this important issue that sometimes even we don't know exactly what is the diagnosis.
Right. So the first step then would be to do what you've done, which is to acknowledge that there is a problem here. And then the next step would be to address it. And then
to look deeper. Yes.
Great stuff. Dr. Julia Kravchenko is a professor in the Department of Surgery at Duke University. Dr. Kim Lyerly, a professor of surgery, immunology, and pathology at Duke. He's also director of Duke's Environmental Health Scholars Program. Thank you both for being on the program. Thank you.
Frank, thanks for having us. And again, I'd like to remind people that we will be having a fall forum of health and the environment in North Carolina on November 1st and 2nd on the Duke campus.
More to come on the state of things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.